All right. Hey, now I got something else to talk about besides religious stuff and people wondering if I'm going to go apostate. You go, guys, no, I'm not going apostate. I understand a lot of things that need to be done, and they're important. You know, like the whole thing of, hey, you need to follow the laws of the land, and not even sometimes just the laws. This whole thing with the COVID thing has a whole lot to do with don't antagonize the powers that be. You know, they'll do something to you. They'll make sure that you can't do things that are really good. They might make it so you can't do missionary work anymore if you're going to cause problems. So we don't, and we, you know, we're like, hey, this is great. All these vaccines are so wonderful. And you're going, and we're going to ignore the fact that there might be some stuff out there saying this stuff isn't really very good. And you go, who cares? It doesn't matter. It says we have to be in line with the powers that be. And you go, yeah. You know, we don't want to get on their bad side. Something bad may happen. And this happens all over the world with this COVID thing. So, yeah, are we going to play it really, 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 really safe? Are we going to do, you know, are we going to obey every government mandate, even if it's against the Constitution, even? And you go, yeah, we will. So yeah, we don't need to talk about that. Okay, I had to go to the bathroom out there. I've been having, I have loose, very loose bowels right now. In fact, it's almost liquid. And this is my first time to try something that I bought. They're called towel tabs. Some people call them toilet paper tabs, and they're tabs that they're about the size of a Tums tablet. You know, those things that you take when you have an upset stomach. You know, big calcium thing that's supposed to kind of take out your stomach acid, kind of calm it down. Anyway, they're kind of that size, but when you put water on them, they swell up, and they're not a tablet anymore, and they become this kind of moist towelette kind of a thing. And I wipe my, and I use one of them to wipe my butt. I try to keep one tube that contains about 10 of those in my pocket, so that I'm ready for these kinds of emergencies, because I often have gastrointestinal problems, you know. Like I said before, I really do function on a third world level to a large extent. And so I'm probably ready at any time to go to the third world. I'm not saying I'm not going to have problems when I get there. Come on. Hello. But they won't be new problems. It'll be like, oh, man, you got that. You're going to have to drink a lot of water. And you go, you don't even know me. I drink gallons of water a day. And you go, that may be why you have this problem. And you go, I may very well so do. It may be true. So, this is my first time not just trialing it, but actually using it for its intended purpose. So, it's done. And, mission accomplished. When I'm not at the convenient place to go to do a number two, mine are really more one and a halves, because the stuff coming out of my back end is, you know, sewer water. Sorry, is that tacky? Well, there it is. That's probably why I put these recordings up, you know, in, on the Gopher server. Almost nobody has access to them, especially now. I used to run PyGopherd, which, although it is a Gopher server, it also provides a web interface as well. If you know where to go looking for it, it's not exactly, at times, that's all I've run. I got rid of the HTTP server in favor of the Gopher server just to do everything. I haven't done that lately. Let's see. Right now, what do I got? I still run a Gopher server. It's not run by PyGopher. It only does it to port 70 and only with the Gopher interface. You have to have a Gopher client to get it. I used to have... I could probably set this back up again because it's a lot simpler with Linux than it was to do it with... what do you call a stupid thing? To do it with... with NetBSD, which I was using for a long time. I'm always going on to NetBSD, which works just fine and does the job admirably. I'm always switching back and catching things like my Citadel mail server. I have not yet switched back to NetBSD. I might not. I've been doing good with open HTTPS now. People can access a lot of my stuff through secure HTTP. There's no reason to, because I really don't... I don't run the kind of server that requires security. It's static, you know, you can't really make changes to it. I still have right now the Twiki Wiki server, which I kind of like. It's kind of cool. Can I say it's really kind of not... It's really not kind of a thing anymore. But I've got it set up, and it's working. And it's just shut off right now. I did that predominantly because now that I've got a top secret clearance, I really get kind of antsy about hanging on to that. You know, I don't want any reason why people would want to get rid of me. Anyway, so, I'm looking at this star. I think it's a star. It hasn't moved. I don't think it's a, it doesn't appear to be a weather balloon. It looks like a star. Chances are it's not very red, so I'm not thinking it's Mars, so it's most likely Jupiter, and it's very bright, and it's a heck of a thing. Anyway, so... Oy vey. So yeah, To be honest, I really don't need a lot of my ultralight camping stuff. Now that I'm sleeping in the boat, it really does a good job as a shelter for me, which is all I use it for. You know, some people really deck their things out and have really nice setups in there, and it's beautiful and wonderful, and I'm just not that type. I am a terrible minimalist. So there's just a bed in there, and it does a good job. I got a mosquito net in there because I was getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. Now I'm not, and it's a wonderful thing. We had some big rains this last week. I came in Thursday night, and it was just bucketing down, as they say. And it was whoa. It was not good. And I have noticed that since I I used to sleep in the greenhouse when I had semi-translucent cover on it that was just getting ripped to shreds. It just was not tough enough to handle the windy conditions that often dominate the springtime out of the crash site. I'm close to celebrating my first complete year at the crash site. I started staying out there. I'm trying to think. I bought it before I started the job. So I bought it in, I would have to say, mid-November of last year. So I've owned it for nearly a year now that it's coming into October. We're at the first week of October. Anyway, it was over the Christmas holiday last year. The place where I work, they give you a week off between Christmas and New Year. Sometimes they'll give you the day before Christmas and the day after New Year. Sometimes, not always. Anyway. And I'd used that week to build that greenhouse there. Got all the stuff ordered and actually did it. And put the first skin on it. And the first skin ripped off. Put the second skin on it, which had an outer skin and an inner skin. And not any better. Just not tough enough. What was it, polyurethane sheet? It was, I don't know if it was 8 mil, whatever. It wasn't tough enough. And it got ripped easily, and if there were seams in it, it would start taking advantage of the seams and ripping off in nice straight lines. Just obnoxious. So, I finally got a trucker's tarp and installed that thing in there, and it's kind of become storage for things. Sadly, what's also happened is is that water runs under there really good. I had been through some snowfall. With the first setup, but let me tell you, once I turned into storage, I really hadn't even looked in it, but maybe twice. And one time was this last week when I had to find some wire to unlock my car door. Okay, this guy. Oh, now he's gonna go. Jeez. The minute I just said I'm tired of how slow he's going. He decides it's time not to go slow anymore. I don't know if he's gonna make a turn here to go to Estancia. We just passed through Willard. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll make him insane, then I'll pass him. Get away from him. I'm hoping he's gonna take a turn. He seemed like a local to Willard, so he would be going to the big city on a Sunday night, maybe go to church or something. That's kind of late. It's about 8 o'clock. Anyway, maybe he'll take a turn up here. But if not, well, I don't know. He's going pretty fast now. I don't think he's turning. He is turning. Yay! Oops. No, he's not turning. Yes, he is. Wasn't so sure. Now he is. Excellent. Because I'm going straight. Fantastic. Goodbye. Okay, so. Traffic back and forth between Willard and Encino. Oh, somebody's following me. They're going to mountain there. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, got the new tarp on, but I found out that water, and it had some floods, and that's normal, and I'm fine. I've got a boat. Boats are not a problem with floods. You know, I don't know ultimately how wonderful the trailer is going to be. I may have to replace the tires on that trailer, get it lubed back up to take it off of the crash site one day. I might, at some point, I might just say, you know what, who cares? I don't care. I'll just leave the darn boat out of the crash site. Might not need it. Although I think I will take the whatchamacallit. I think I'll take the greenhouse frame with me. That thing's kind of nice. It's not so exposed to high winds in my backyard as it would be otherwise. So that might end up being kind of a nice thing. All right, we got to be a little worried about Mountain Air. They've got some policemen at Mountain Air that actually do some patrols. So I need to make sure that I'm not speeding particularly. At least not enough that they care. I don't know who that was, but I didn't do it. Okay, so. Oh, this is a nice part of my trip. I always love mountain airs up high, and it's nice and cool here. Interesting kind of people, and I kind of appreciate that. Anyway, so. course, the temple's closed for a couple of weeks, so there's no temple trips this week or next week. Not exactly sure what I'm going to do. I've certainly got a writing project or two that I could work on, that I haven't really been doing a lot of writing, except for little things that I pull out of scriptures. This millstone thing might be a little bit bigger, because I really need to overcome the whole issue with parents thinking that it's talking about them, and being really weird about how they handle their kids. The culture is really getting to be, we want parents to shut up and treat their kids like little kings and queens and princesses, and don't you dare say anything to make them feel bad. You know, don't you dare discipline them. Not appropriate. You know, you will hear the occasional story of cultures where the parents are really just, you know, kind of let their kids do whatever they like, and punishments are really very almost non-existent. And, you know, they say, oh, look how wonderful these kids turn out. And you go, yeah. He says, can I tell you? There's a lot of situations where kids are kind of naturally growing. And it's interesting and somewhat compelling. Unless you want your kids to be decent. I'm not saying you can't have decent or even wonderful kids under these schemes, but you're only going to have a few of them. The rest of them are going to be doing all kinds of garbage and making life miserable for everybody. And if you haven't established your authority over your children, you're not going to do it when you find out that they're going nuts and going off in different directions. You know, both my brother Joe and I have kids who have decided to kind of walk away from the church. Our standards, the way we raise them, frankly. And it can be very hard. Now, you know, I don't think either one of our broods, the two of them, he has four kids, I have six. He's my older brother. Nobody, I think, walked away from the church while they were in our households. They chose to do those kinds of things later, when they were adults. And although that's off-putting under any circumstance, that it's like everything that you taught them, everything that you wanted them to do, they're against. Now, I've got the one that decided to treat me like Satan. She doesn't believe in the supernatural, apparently. No, that's not true. She says that I saw that she's telling people that she's studying Druidism and she's thinking about Wicca. So it's not that she's against the supernatural. She just doesn't like Jesus Christ. She doesn't like that kind of thing. And I guess you could say that she's beyond being resentful to me for the standards that I set. that were Latter-day Saint standards, because those go beyond what a lot of Christian faiths do. She actually works at a farm that is run by people that are into anthroscopy, which is a philosophy that was created by a fellow named Rudolf Steiner back in the late 19th century. And it was somewhat Christian. It had a lot of ties to Christianity, but interesting take on a lot of other things. Has a whole lot to do with early ecology, ecological stuff, trying to get close to the earth, trying to do things that support the earth, grow things. And I'm trying to do it in positive terms, because I really don't have a problem with the philosophy by and large. I don't follow it, but I don't have any problem with people who do. You know, of course, the funny thing is, my daughter Shayna, who has decided that she's a man, and boy, let me tell you, you can turn her from a friend into a foe in 1 second by using her original name and referring to her by feminine pronouns, which I do, and I said I'm not going to stop doing that, because I'm not going to sit here and support you in this kind of stuff, even though my religious system is is being quite open-minded about this. I'm not. You know, when people say, well, why aren't you doing what your beloved prophet says, or what your wonderful leaders say? You're not being a good person. And you're going, I'm not a Latter-day Saint on that level. This is, I am, you know, I am. But but I've read and I've studied and I've learned and stuff like that. I'm sorry. This is not an acceptable choice to make, and I'm not going to be supportive of it. Anyway, so it doesn't matter. But it's interesting, because this is a group that really is, if you don't buy into the system and into their philosophy, it really is kind of, you can go. My younger daughter, Brenna Jelaine, she worked for this outfit in another place. They actually have several places. She actually worked in this place before Shayna did. Shayna actually learned about this place from her sister. And when she kind of said, well, I think I'm going to be moving on, boy, it became a whole thing of, well, then get the heck out of here. And I don't anticipate that they really treated her exactly like that, but it was obvious. If you weren't gonna make a long-term commitment with them, then yeah, you need to leave. This is for people who want to make a long-term commitment. And Shayna's been there for, I don't know. I don't think it's been 5 years yet. Perhaps. I can't tell. Anyway, I could go and do some research and find out, I would imagine, but it's not, it doesn't interest me all that much. Anyway, but yeah, this outfit is quasi-Christian, and the fact that my oldest daughter Shayna has pretty much said, oh, to heck with Christianity, I want nothing to do with it, and she's been looking at other belief systems, which I find interesting because it's like, you know, she was trying to be an atheist and that didn't work out. And you're going, yeah, this is typical young person, not really, you know, just trying to figure things out. That's okay. The problem is rather than being 17, 18, 19, early 20s, the woman's 31, and she's still kind of exploring. And it's like, well, you haven't come up with something that you're comfortable with yet? Oh my gosh. You know, it's just that by 31, I was, I was doing what needed to be done. Married. When I was 31, I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4. No, I think we had all of our children. I think we had all 6 by the time I was 31. That was 10 years after I got married, was when I was 31. I got married when I was 21, okay. That sounds about right. I've got a 31-year-old child. No. Well, the twins were just coming. It doesn't matter. When I was at that age, I already had 4 children. The last 2 were twins. And and a pretty substantial job. I'd already been through, I was already into my 3rd career. You know, and you can say, well, you're just as floppy as I am. And you go, okay, fine. You know, it says, but can I be honest? I said, No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I shouldn't say that. You know, belief systems change over time. So it doesn't matter how old you are. You do that. So, you know, I'm sure if Shayna decided, or if she found out that the Latter-day Saint Church was actually probably a pretty good thing to be a part of, she would be far too embarrassed by her behavior in the past, the things that she had said about it, to embrace it. I would hope she would, but to be honest, she's much more concerned with how other people think of her. That's always been a huge driver in her life, and so, you know, that would be tough. So, you know, Shayna's probably gone the most furthest afield. I can't say that for sure. There's some of Joe's kids that I don't really keep up with at all. I don't contact them, they don't contact me. There's no reason to. I mean, we don't do things together. Our families were always extremely separate from each other. And it's not because of any particular, I can't think of any reason why. It was just, you know, we were always hundreds and hundreds of miles away from each other. And so it really wasn't workable. And, different families, you know, didn't have a lot in common. Except the biological stuff. My kids were very much more autistic and troublesome, can I be honest? And Joe's were I would have to say, a little more typical. And, And I don't think they wanted my kids influencing their kids. And I guess I understand on a certain level. I understand that. So that's okay. Anyway, I don't know what got me into that. Of course, I always say that, don't I? Start going off on some tangent. And I never come back from it. Okay, well, no. We were talking about the camping out, which I really do very little of. I've got I don't live at the crash site. I sleep there. If I get off of work at 5 and I don't hang around and I don't have something else to do, like go shopping or take care of some need, I end up at the crash site about, 6:30, 7? And, maybe 6. Anyway, and I'll just sit in the car, and I've got the one computer game that I play, Age of Empires. I really should kind of get myself pulled back together with other things that I do too. But I kind of like Age of Empires the best. But don't challenge myself. It's just working on something and spending the time. Maybe watch a movie. I have some pre-recorded DVDs here that I recorded way back in the past, and I may watch one of them, or have gotten some videos. Like right now I've got some videos that I bought. I usually buy the ones that are like, for $10 you'll get 10 movies, and they're all old, or they're all crappy, or they're all... It's got 3 or 4 good movies. What I have now has some movies that I kind of liked when they were in the theaters. One's called The Cowboy Way, which really did badly, I guess. What's the other one? I need to take a look. Is it right here? It's right here. And Bird on a Wire with Mel Gibson and Goldie Hawn. I kind of liked that one, although it wasn't all that great. There's a Sylvester Stallone movie, Stop or My Mother Will Shoot, and that one's really kind of bad. And then there's some others that are kind of, just kind of real sleepers. I need to go back, and there's 4 more movies I got to do on here. Sometimes they're with people that you've heard of, but these are the movies that, like, they say, oh, I regret ever making that movie. So... that's what kind of happens there. Ugh, I'm stuck going 55 behind something. I really need to get out from behind them. But it's technically the speed limit here, I think. So it's not a bad thing just to drive behind them. There's a little traffic today on Sunday. It's not typical. Usually this road is just completely dead. So yeah, when people say, well, you should fix up that place and make it nicer out there, the crash site. Remodel that boat, and you're going, just not. I've thought about it, and I've even made a couple of plans, and then it's like, you know what? What's the point? Says Lisa isn't going to come and stay out there ever, because it's just... It's not Lisa. She does not do that stuff. It's not really relevant to anybody else. One of my kids may want to stay out there, but they'll probably say, Dad, I can't live out there. And you go, yeah, I never did either. I had a job in town, and... guy. It's one of those guys with those huge, he's got a horse trailer, camper, monstrosity trailer. It's made for going out and going on the rodeo circuit or something. It's kind of like that. Anyway, so yeah, and that's what I do. And I pop up in the morning. And I get dressed, and I get in the car, and I go to work. I'm usually there really early, sometimes as early as 6:30 in the morning. I've got kind of a standby. I've got a clock that goes off at 6 o'clock if I'm to make sure I don't sleep too long. And when I do that, I'm usually in the office about 7. It takes me about an hour to get into town. But that takes into account two or three other things. Like I'll go to one of the local grocery stores and pick up a breakfast burrito to eat. Maybe that's why I'm having so many problems, is that I've been enjoying the breakfast burritos. They're $2.99, and I'll usually buy two of them, eat one for breakfast, stick the other one in the fridge at work, and I'll eat the other one coming home. And I'll do that a lot. Sometimes I'll get something bigger, and I'll only eat half of it coming home. You know, in the afternoon, I'll get a Subway sandwich, maybe, although they cost a lot now, so I'm not really big on doing that anymore. We got a Little Caesars pizza, and their pizzas were at $5 even. Now they're a little more expensive, like 50 cents more. Welcome to inflation. For their cheapest, just their cheap pepperoni pizza. Now same price for the Italian sausage. I've only gotten one of those yet. Sometimes I just leave off the pepperoni altogether, just the cheese. Or just do their garlic bread, which is really good. And I'll do half of that for dinner, and then the other half of it for breakfast the next morning, if I'm in a mood. And I gotta say, though, I used to go and do Sonic every once in a while, or Burger King. I've really cut off Burger King. Sonic has Tuesdays, they have half-off burgers. So sometimes I would get two burgers, eat one going home, and keep one to eat the next morning. Especially now that it's getting cooler, and I don't have to worry about things spoiling so readily. I try to vary it a little bit, although it's always a little on the cheap side for me. I'm also trying to make sure that I don't get a lot of stuff that is going to aggravate my gout or set off possible diabetes issues. For about 10 years, every time I'd go in for a health checkup for one reason or another, they'd come back and say, well, you're borderline high pressure and you're borderline diabetes. But they would always say that. Well, you got to work on that. And you're going, you know what? I've been borderline for both of those forever. And you're going, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I'm borderline. And that doesn't matter, you know? But I'm never going to get to the point to where it's full-fledged, because I'm not fantastic at trying to keep this stuff away, but I'm not bad either, you know. Most of my lunches are baked potatoes with nothing on them except baked potatoes in the skins, so I get all the wonderful benefits of the skin. Broccoli. Usually raw broccoli, and for snacks I tend to eat carrots, and that is that stuff. Sugar? I don't even remember the last time I ate sugar. I sometimes I do that when I go home. Lisa will say, you know, for breakfast we're gonna have cereal. If I'm not a lazy bum on a Saturday morning, I'll actually make eggs or something. And I think everybody kind of appreciates that, because Lisa doesn't often, Lisa doesn't cook that way too much. I'm kind of an omelet guy, but not the kind that she likes. She likes, she's a person with taste. I've got a very wonderful wife, and she doesn't like my cooking at all, because it's very basic. I don't do anything crazy. I don't really mix stuff together particularly. You know, there's this, there's some protein, here's some vegetables, here's some other stuff. You know, I love cheese, so if I can put cheese on it, I'll try. Although I don't tend to eat out cheese, because it's not cheese. It's processed cheese food. Blech. That's just garbage. So, yeah. Sundays aren't so good, because Lisa has to get up really early to get ready for church. And although I tend to leave an hour for church, an hour before she does, I don't have to get ready particularly. You know, I just kind of, I've usually shaved the evening before. Usually I shave on a Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. And so I could just wake up and take a bit of a shower, and that's it. And I'm off and running. Not a big deal. Always kind of been that way. I don't know, maybe when I was a kid I used to get into long, luxuriant showers. I'm not that way anymore, if I ever really was. I think I got out of that thing when I started working offshore, and hot water wasn't really all that hot. It was either boiling or it was non-existent. So it just tended to take just the shower that was necessary. And of course, you know, you didn't want to go overboard because you had to clean up. There was a cleaning thing that needed to be done for these showers. If you had a private shower, which I often did, you'd have to take care of the cleaning yourself. Other boats that I was on, you actually had stewards, and they actually cleaned things. That was kind of cool. I didn't have that behavior. It wasn't like the Norwegians. They were on the really big ship, the Ram Forms, which was kind of a sawed-off cruise liner, almost. And they had fantastic, those guys had a, ours was a galley, and it was a working galley. It wasn't bad, but it was, you know, it was tight, and it was, you know, it had what was needed. This other place was a restaurant they had. It was amazing. And they had a chef. We had a cook that was probably a failed deckhand. They ended up being the cook. And we had a Ukrainian crew. They were used to the Soviet Navy. That's where a lot of them got their training from. This was in the late 90s. And the Soviet Union fell apart 5-6 years before. And so, you know, that's where they got most of their training from. And so there's a lot of this stuff called chicken jello, which was mostly, you would boil the chicken, and you would put the chicken aside for the things, but that boiled chicken, which included the fat and everything else, we would call it chicken broth that hadn't been refined very well. You know, it had a big brine of fat on it. They would take that and, I don't know if they used gelatin to try to set it up, or if they would just make it really cold, if they would freeze it. I'm not sure how it went. I never ate chicken jello. It really, I just, there's no. The working crew was American. The client crew, and the actual guys that, made the boat go, they were a bunch of Ukrainians, and the captain was a Russian. And it was an interesting thing, interesting cultural exchange. Wonderful guys, wonderful people. Although honestly, and I can't say that, almost everybody was into porn there except for me. Anyway, so, and a lot of these guys were married, and yeah, the porn was just flowing freely. The maritime crew was on ship for 6 months. They would go 6 months on, 6 months off. The rest of the crew, which was the bridge crew and us, the clients, who were actually running the business side of the boat, the one that was making the money. We were 5 weeks on, 5 weeks off, which was nice. That was one of the perks of working for this outfit. It was a newer seismic outfit, and they bought the talent by giving them better benefits. It was traditional that crew change would happen every 6 weeks, so you'd be 6 weeks on and 6 weeks off. And the enticement to get experienced seismic crews to come to work for this new seismic company, the big enticement was, hey man, our crew changes happen every 5 weeks. So it was only 5 weeks off and 5 weeks on. It cost the company more money, They would end up doing another crew change or two a year. And that cost, and that was money spent having to do that compared to other seismic crews. Anyway, it was a heck of a thing. Anyway, that was where I kind of got my chops for living and working. These guys would bring so much stuff with them when they went, and I would bring half as much, if not less. Mostly just clothes. Had a laptop back then that I wrote. It was my great writing year, was when I was out there doing that. I can't say I've ever gotten any better. Of course, a lot of my time is chewed up with the commute back and forth and stuff like that. It wasn't like being on the boat where we would work 12-hour days, and as soon as you were gone, you were gone. You were in your cabin in 2 minutes, and typing away, doing stuff like that. A lot of movies being watched. I was back in the VHS days, so there's a lot of VHS movies to watch. And anyway, so not that that's changed a lot here, when it's like I'm just not in the mood to do one thing or another. I was really very strident out on the boat. Anyway, so, yeah. I tried. Well, it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, so, yeah. I mostly just sleep. And that's it. And, of course, as I've gotten older, I need more sleep than I used to. So, really not a lot of time. I might have like an hour before work starts, and then maybe an hour or two after work's done, and then it's like, and that's absolutely the most I'm gonna get. And that's when food's not an issue. And lately I've been doing a morning grocery run most days. So anyway, and also I usually work in a temple trip, just not for the next couple of weeks because they're doing the cleaning, and I'm you know, and that chews up an entire night, and losing some sleep because I don't get home at a very decent hour at all. I leave straight from work, so everything has to be ready to go as soon as I take off. I'll go and get some, you know, drive straight to the temple. I got to change clothes twice, you know, temple appropriate garb and then endowment garb. And then same thing coming back out of it. Usually try to find something inexpensive to eat. There's a Del Taco there in Las Lunas, and pretty cheap gas. And so I usually make a stop in Las Lunas, get some food at Del Taco, which is usually just you know, a couple of their cheap 99 cent tacos. And then I go to get some gas, then I come home, and I usually get home, sadly, right about 10, which is quite late for me. Not that I haven't done 10 before, a few times, I usually don't have to. Anyway, and so yeah, that whole alarm clock waking me up at 6 in the morning, that's a big deal, because when I, you know, and when I come home at 10, sometimes I'm just not quite tired yet. So I'm laying there. You know, I may turn on one of the podcasts to listen to for a little bit until I start drifting, and then I'll turn it off and actually go to sleep. Maybe sometimes late as 11. And yeah, and waking up at 6 means I only got 7 hours of sleep. Not horrible, but yeah, it means that I'm running kind of tight. If I do two sessions a week, which I have done, I was doing for a few weeks, and I like doing that because it does. It makes the whole week progress faster, which I like. You know, I'll do a Tuesday and a Thursday temple thing. That's pretty tough because Friday coming home I get a little sleepy because, golly, I only had 7 hours of sleep the night before. So if I'm only going to do one, I usually do it on Tuesday or Wednesday. If I do two, I do Tuesday and Thursday. And I really like doing that because it does. It just makes the time pass gooder, faster, and you know, it's good service. It's good service for souls, and I feel good when I do it. Anyway, so I'm almost to the turnoff. Oh my gosh, I better be paying attention. I might miss it. I've got two opportunities to do it. I'm a little skittish. You know, I don't know how much it's rained, and I don't really want to get caught in some place that's going to be wet and sandy in a rainstorm, that's slick, and chances of me getting stuck are excellent, and I hate that. It's no good for me. Anyway, so, yeah. And that's all the crash site is about. You know, people say, well, you could have just, you know, camped at State Park or, you know, in the mountains or something. It says, well, number one, I don't want to have crap. I don't want to have people coming and bugging me. Honestly, I really don't want to be social. I'm just not that kind of a guy. I wanted a place that was reliable, that I didn't have to worry about, you know, I'm coming in late, I'm tired, and all of a sudden I find out that some gate's shut, and I can't sleep there at night. I didn't want to mess with, I camped out a lot at Oasis State Park when I was working for Eastern. I camped out a lot for New Mexico State University when I was doing those kinds of travels. Those were different, and camping out in the tent was fine. And I had a pretty nice setup. It wasn't that bad. But yeah, when it comes down to doing it night after night after night in the same location for years, you want to have something nicer. You want to have something more reliable. You don't want to have a situation where a big wind came up and it blew your tent away, and all of a sudden you're having to sleep in a car, or you're having to run real fast and try to buy another tent. That gets expensive after a while. You replace a lot. And the wind blows like mad out here. 70, 80 mile an hour winds are not unknown at all. So, that was one of the things that really killed off the whole greenhouse. But now that I've got a really industrial tarp on it, it's doing a lot better. But you don't want to sleep in there because it's hot, and it's not, it's industrial, you know, and the fact that the rain goes right underneath it. And it's like, wow, so this place, it was amazing. You would think that at a kind of a sandy-ish place, it's kind of a layer of sand over a lot of clay, to be honest. Oh, man. Okay, well, I don't know that it's rained anymore, but this is a slow place to dry out. And I've gotten into the habit of not actually even using this road anymore. I use a little Jeep trail that cuts about, oh, guy. It probably cuts about 5 miles off of this. And so it probably cuts about 10, 15 minutes off of my day using that thing. Actually, it probably ends up cutting off about half an hour. Anyway, so that's kind of where the boat came from. I'm really glad I got the boat rather than something else. I don't need anything too exotic, so the majority of RVs are not useful to me. They've got too much junk. The taxes and registration for RVs are expensive. A boat doesn't get messed with, to be honest. There's a lot of people out here that have boats. The closest place to do a boat is in T or C, which is about an hour and a half from here. But yeah, there's people that just have boats. You know, everybody who's thought that they were. That guy's got something going there. A lot of guys have boats out here. But they're usually junk boats, you know. They bought them with an idea that they were going to do something with them. Or they already had the boat someplace else, and then this was a good place to park it, just to get it out of the way of whatever they were. And so this place becomes kind of a boat graveyard. I gotta get up on the rough road here to stay out of the big puddles, even though it probably hasn't rained any since I was last here. It takes a long time for the puddles to dry out because of the clay. Yeah, soaking. Of course, there's a layer of sand which makes everything a little slippery. So if you mix the sand and the water and the clay, you've got a wonderful opportunity to get stuck in the thing. This kind of car, you can't get knobby tires for. They just don't make them. You know, this is a subcompact economy car. It was never made to go into these kinds of situations. What I'm doing is totally against any kind of reason, but I gotta save money on gas. So this thing, that's what this is. There's been some interesting developments out here in my part of the world. Somebody has put up, I swear it's probably a marijuana farm out here. I don't know if it's got something electrical, whether it's solar or power line strung to it, but it's this almost greenhouse that's got these big bright lights going 24 hours a day. And, well, at least dark in the night. And, it didn't used to be there. This is kind of new. And, when you're coming through, you see this thing. And it really is, this is the perfect kind of place for this kind of a setup, you know. You'll buy an acre or two out here. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a flip. Nobody's going to say a word. I'm not going to say anything. And you can do whatever you good and well freaking please. You know, there's nothing to stop a soul about any of this. And so, yeah. Luckily, my acre is, it's really not a wash, but it kind of is. It's kind of a thing that kind of slants down into eventually a gully, but it's nowhere near my place. It's just a kind of a slide of land. It's relatively flat, but yeah, it's got a little bit of a thing to it. Anyway, it was amazing. On Thursday, I drove through here, and this place was just, the whole place was a sheet of water. Usually, it's been a strange year, apparently. Usually this place has little tufts of vegetation here and there, but otherwise it is just sandy dead. And when they... I'm going right by this guy's place. This guy, I think his name was Jeremy, and he and his girlfriend, wife, whatever, had a really big bus that was converted to live in. It was a live-in bus, and really, really nice. And they had started building some with sandbags or sand tubes actually, and hay bales. And they had started making this little place. Now, I don't know if it's coincidental, but about the time that this big lit up greenhouse came online was about the time they left. The bus left. Everything that they did was there, and they really cleaned. They really picked up everything and cleaned up from all the projects they were doing. And they had a fence. They had built a fence around it. And, you know, they were starting to do something. I don't know if it was because they really didn't want to have anything to do with the greenhouse. I'm far enough away from it, and I'm kind of over a ridge from it. I don't see it. I got my neighbor here. It's Cody. I think he's got a wife or a girlfriend here in their thing, and I think that they must have kids because, or at least one kid, because every day about 6, they're coming back from on this Jeep trail that they had, they go and they wait there, I think, for the school bus to pick up the kid, go to school, which isn't bad. The school is just over a ridge from me too. I'm really quite isolated. I take showers, without any kind of real cover. I do it between the boat I do it between the boat and what I call a blister. It's my old greenhouse. It's called the blister. And, cause that's how it's shaped. And, anyway, so, okay, we're here. Ah. Got an orange for the morning. Not bad. And a couple of apples left over from last week. They still look pretty good. I had some water. So everything's good. I got my keys in my pocket. So now I can just lock the door on the car. It'll sit. We used to have a bed bug problem in a couple of our houses. We kind of picked it up in Oklahoma City, and the bed bugs kind of traveled with us to back to Portales, at our house in Portales. And we did a pretty good job of clearing out the problem in Portales. But then I guess they came with us to our place there in Tucumcari that we're at now. And I did something very, very unwise, vaguely illegal. I had done some research and found out that the one reliable thing that will kill bed bugs dead and take care of them, there's two things. I've got a pool ladder to climb up into the boat. Got a little hasp to keep the boat kind of secure. I don't lock it. I guess I could have a lock. I've just never done it. Maybe one day I will if I start getting the impression that my stuff's getting screwed with. But I've never had that problem. Cody's just... Everybody keeps their really big on screwing with anybody. And that's good for all of us, I think. Anyway, so take off my shoes. Mr. Rogers stuff. And my socks. Oh, and you can see the Milky Way across the sky. It's amazing. The cooler it gets, the more everything kind of shines. That's real nice because it must be a new moon, or the moon's just not, hasn't come out yet. And it's really beautiful. A billion stars. It's just amazing. And yeah, you can hear Cody's dogs going nuts over there. Well, I don't know if it's me or it's just whatever. They never come over here. Oh, at least they haven't so far. Okay. Oh, shoes off. Here, I'm going to put this down. So if the sound quality gets a little weird, I don't know why. I always have to dust off the sand that comes in. Sand will invade everything. It's just the way things are. Really, really good. And I use them quite often. And they were really effective at killing bed bugs. But bed bugs are really resilient at hiding. And of course, you know, the heat's pretty good, but those things always have a problem with. If you kept them sealed up too good, which was really the way you needed to make sure that the heat got out of the box, you'd run out of oxygen in the room. So heaters will shut off when they don't have enough oxygen. Oh. Okay, here I am. I usually leave. It's getting to be the time of year now, this October, that I might not actually close up the... I might start closing up the portal on the boat. I'm laying down right now. But I'm not doing anything in that way. Let's see what time it is. It is... 20:41. That's 8:41. Pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. Anyway, so let's take a look. Still recording. Yeah, still recording. Good. Okay. Anyway, so I'd had these heaters. I had a single head heater and a double head heater, and used them several times to kill bed bugs. Also, dichotomous earth, which is mostly really finely ground up bug shells or something. Yeah. Anyway, this stuff is it cuts up bed bugs.
And when the bed bugs go and suck on your blood, which is their food, if they walk across this DE, it cuts them up, and it kills them. And of course, you have to do that for quite a while, because it's not just this generation; it's all the eggs that they've ever laid. Ultimately, what you have to do is, and ultimately what we did is, you just have to throw out every stick of furniture that you ever had that had bed bugs in them, because there's just no way to get them out of it. The heat can't penetrate it good enough, and you really can't DDE it good enough. Although I can say that we have saved some of our furniture from that, which I think is what actually carried the bed bugs everywhere over the years. Anyway, but we haven't had a bed bug problem in probably almost 2 years now, and that's a pretty good sign. Usually they say, yeah, if you haven't noticed you're having a problem after 3 weeks, you've pretty much got them. And it's been about a year, so we're really doing quite well. And so we didn't need those heaters after a while, because that was the only reason why we had the heaters for the longest time. And anyway, so there was a recall of these heaters. The place we got it from, Harbor Freight in Clovis, sent us a thing that said, hey, there is a refund on those. It says, if you bring them in, we'll give you a gift card for the value of what you paid to get them. And it was like, oh, this is too cool. I don't need them anymore. Cool, I get to take them back for a refund. Absolutely. So when I took them back, let me see, I'm trying to think of some of the things I bought. I bought a couple of lights for in here. It almost looks like a light switch, but it's actually, oh, so you can't see it, but I just flipped it on, and it's wonderful because I can actually read really well by this light. My mom got me kind of a lantern, and it's okay, but you can't read by the light of it. It's too, you know, it's trying to light up a whole space, where the other one's just trying to light up right in front of itself. It works really good for reading. When I get down to reading, although I don't do a ton of reading in here. I could. Oh, I should bring some more books. I've got some books, but I've not really gotten too interested in them. Pretty much books that I bought at other things. Anyway, so I bought some lights. What else did I buy? I bought a reciprocating saw, which is still in the box, and it's in Tucumcari in the front room. Hasn't yet found a purpose to be, but Sam's all excited because he said, oh, I love those things. And he goes, well, I got one. I don't know if it comes with any blades, but we can get blades pretty readily in Tucumcari. It's not a problem. Anyway, and I bought a solar kind of tiki light. And this whole conversation is brought up by the fact that I've got the solar tiki light here at the site. It's attached to one of the poles that I set up to tie down the blister out here. Cows just run. Well, they don't run particularly, but there's some guy that just lets his cow graze out here. And, you know, if you don't put up fences to keep the cows out of things, they'll get into things. That's just what cows do. And the guy who runs it knows that there's a certain amount of his cows that will get into something stupid and kill themselves. And I don't know how much he really cares, but that's just kind of the way it goes. and since I had plastic on my blister, and I didn't want cows screwing around with the blister or getting into the tearing up the plastic or eating it. I had cows when I was a kid that they died eating plastic sheeting, so I did that. So I put up just a fence around the blister. There's no space between the blister and the fence. It's just, and that's also part of the system that kind of ties the blister down, is that it attaches to those poles and to the fence around it. And there's just a little extension of the fence far enough for you to get to what kind of serves as the front door of the blister. And right at the corner of that is now this tiki light. So now this is all lit up. When I first came out here and marked where my land was, and I don't know exactly where my land is. I don't know exactly its extent. I've seen on the plat map, but I don't have the corners surveyed, so I really don't know what size it is. I really don't care at this point. It really doesn't matter to me. I had my mom had actual just oil tiki lights at her house, and I grabbed one, and she had left it behind when she left the house to me, and so I took it out, I brought it out here, and mom was the kind of person that bought a lot of things off of Amazon and from China and stuff like that, and would turn around and I guess she would try to sell it. I'm not sure what exactly she tried to do anyway, but she had a few boxes with solar walkway lights. It has a spike on one end, and it had a little solar thing on the top. And it would stay lit for a couple of hours at night before it ran out of juice. And for the longest time, that was how I knew where to park. At first, I had a Ford, a little Ford Explorer that was actually given to my daughter, and my daughter didn't have any use for it, so she sold it to me for $500, and that was my first, the first vehicle to do the whole run here. Very expensive. It only got 15 miles to the gallon, and I was paying hundreds of dollars a week to have that thing here, and I knew that wasn't going to last very long anyway. But yeah, that first tiki light was where I would park. I would park right beside that tiki light because that was the only indication I had of where my land was. Since then, I've actually made enough of a Jeep trail that now I've got just a big kind of loop that goes right by the blister. Of course, it was much easier once I had the blister up. You could see it. The tiki light, the old tiki light, is actually still there. I don't think it actually works anymore. So, as part of this money, I got like $130 taking back those heater heads. And I got a new tiki light that is a lot more suited to the purpose out here. It actually runs all night long. Not that I have any kind of light problem here. Like I said, there's glare from Albuquerque that lights up part of the sky, and the stars overhead just do a fantastic job too. It is never very dark out here at all. especially if you're just not, you know, if you're not weird about it. There's not a lot of, you know, there's no trees, so it's just flat land. And but now I've got this tiki light too, that just kind of goes the whole night and just sits there and kind of flickers, and it gives every impression of looking like it might be a flame going, although it's not. It's just solar light. Sometimes it doesn't last all night because if it's overcast, it doesn't get enough sun. But most nights, it does a fine job. At least as good as it needs to do. I'm getting tired, and it's late, and I'm just laying down, and I'm comfortable. I'm in my boat. I only close it up when I think it's going to rain. The boat wasn't here. I'm trying to think the last, if it snowed while I've had the boat. I think I got the boat in March, maybe, this last March. So I've only had it for probably about 6 months. You know, it's doing great. I've got some stuff set up so that if I need to, I can put it up on blocks, which might do a good job of saving my tires from getting too screwed up. But I'm a little nervous about that from the standpoint of when it rains sufficiently, the back part of the boat gets some water in the bottom of it, and you have to tip it back to get the water out. Haven't had a problem with that the last couple of rains, so I'm kind of thinking that I've got a pretty good setup, so it might not even need to rock back and forth particularly. So I might buy some cinder blocks and put this whole shebang up on blocks, so that I don't have to worry about the tires on this thing going bad too readily. And aren't be able to do, so it might be in good shape for when I get ready to take it off, take it somewhere else. I'll eventually probably sell it, probably up in Logan to somebody who wants it for next to nothing. Probably sell it for $500 or something even cheaper. I don't care. I will have gotten all the use I ever wanted to out of it over the span of years I'm doing this. Anyway, so, okay. That's all she wrote. That's all the information you get. There's some stories and fun stuff like that. It's nearly 9 o'clock. It's time to go to bed. And,